What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. In today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about the process of reverse dieting and coming out of fat loss, because this was actually sparked by a really great question I got on Instagram. Somebody had DM'd me inquiring about my own fat loss progress and had a good question about the reverse, and basically was like, so as you're reversing, you're basically like adding calories back, but you're still tracking and still following your plan. And like, doesn't that mean that the diet is just still happening? She's like, it kind of seems like it never stops. And I thought that was really, it sparked a good conversation and a good back and forth. And by the way, that is why when you have questions, hit me up. I get a lot of the podcast episode ideas from these types of conversations where it's just, you know, somebody truly wanting to understand the process better, either for themselves or for a client. And I love those back and forths because, like I said, that's how I come up with these episode ideas. So before I get into this whole thought process and execution, and I can talk about it from personal experience, I can talk about it from client experiences, I can talk about it from what research says and all that stuff. And it is, for some reason, reverse dieting is a very, I don't know, it seems to be a controversial subject. Some coaches or some people say that it's not a real thing. Some coaches swear by it. Usually there's some nuance, as always. But anyway, before I get into it, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you enjoy the show. That's the best way to help us out. And you can also subscribe, follow wherever you listen. That's another really beneficial little 15-second thing, is just check whatever platform you're listening on. Just make sure that you are subscribed. You can also send any episode that you enjoy, just send it to a friend or family member, colleague, or whatever. That's it. Quick housekeeping. So the way that I answered that question, and just got into like more of the specifics. So let me back up, because I don't want to assume that everybody understands my whole personal fat loss journey that just wrapped up and is now in the reverse process. And just again, for even more context, when I say fat loss, that's an active dieting phase, which right out of the gate, I do this once a year. I do this once a year for about 8 to 12 weeks, depending on how much I want to lose. And that's it. The rest of the year, I am not dieting. I'm usually not tracking. So typically I'll go 8 or 9 months out of the year without tracking macros at all. And then I tighten things up during a fat loss phase where I'm intentionally trying to get leaner. And then I will reverse out. And the goal is to solidify and maintain those results. So the whole theory around reverse dieting is basically you're dieting in reverse. So with dieting, you know, the thought process is you're eating less and less and less and trying to lose weight. Reversed dieting is you're eating more and more and more and trying to maintain weight. A lot of experts, gurus, influencers out there will say that reverse dieting is not real because science hasn't verified it, right? Like, this isn't something that's been proven in literature. And I think that there is a really important distinction to make. First of all, have we tried? Have we tried to do studies around reverse diet? And my guess is no, because it's not like, here's my thought process around it. What would be the purpose of a study around reverse dieting, and how would it be measured, and how would it be controlled? And it's one of those things that coaches have been doing for the longest time. We have a client who comes to us and they're eating a certain amount, and it's usually what happens is their projected maintenance, or their, you know, theoretical maintenance is a lot higher than what they're eating. So they'll say like, oh, I'm eating 1200 calories a day. It's like the standard, because they've been told that that's the magic number. Their theoretical maintenance is a lot higher, and they're like, but I'm not losing weight on 1200 calories. So rather than just being like, okay, well, let's go to 800 calories. What most coaches will do, who are pretty good, will reverse diet that individual. So they'll start with their 12. And here's, I think it's really important to understand this. It does not matter if the person is actually eating 1200 calories or not. What matters is that we have a consistent data point. So as we start to track and increase calories, 1500, 1800, 2000, whatever, now we have a consistent data point. We can start to see how they respond. Oftentimes what happens is they lose weight and they get leaner through that process. I mean, been doing this for a long time. I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals lose weight while reverse dieting. And again, this is where the controversy comes in, because a lot of people will say, a lot of coaches or experts will say, you can't lose weight while eating more. And in those scenarios, it wasn't because they were eating more, it was because they were actually tracking more accurately. So it seemed like they were eating more, but they actually weren't. And again, what I say to that is, who the fuck cares whether it's real or not? It's real to the individual. That's all that matters. So first rule of business is that your data is better than anybody else's opinion. Your data and your experience is more valid than anybody else's opinion. I don't care what, you know, anybody says about what you did and why it happened. They can have their theory. If you were trying to eat 1200 calories, whether it was real or not, and you started to eat more, and a lot of times what our clients will say is they can feel the difference. They're like, I'm way more satiated. It's actually difficult to eat this much. I need my hunger signals to catch up. So like, whether it's placebo effect or not, it doesn't matter. The results are the results. So it's tough to study. It's tough to control for. And I think that that's why it's very much open to interpretation. So I don't buy the whole, well, research hasn't supported this yet. I've seen it. I've witnessed it and I've experienced it, which is exactly what I'm experiencing right now. So I went through my fat loss phase, started January 2nd. It was 195.8 at the high. At my low during the fat loss phase, I hit 182.8. And then I started reversing out. And I've had two diet breaks mixed in. So it was like 10 weeks-ish of dieting with two week-long diet breaks in there. And so as I started reversing and increasing my calories, and just for context, my maintenance is around 3,000 calories per day. I went down to like 20. I think my first cut was down to 2,500 or 2,400. Now I can't remember. 2,500 calories. I believe it was 2,500. And then I rode that out for like 5 weeks. And then I cut down to 2,100 calories and rode that out till the end. That was it. My starting my fat loss phase and then one single change plus two diet breaks in there where I just ate and did whatever I wanted because I was traveling and did not track anything, did not do anything special, just ate and enjoyed myself and lived my life. So then my reverse, I started with a 300 calorie increase. So it's 2,400 calories as I'm reversing, giving my body time to acclimate. I kept losing. So the scale kept going down. So at my lowest in my like true fat loss phase, 182.8. Then as I'm reversing and 2,400 calories, adding calories back in, the scale drops 182.0, which was pretty steady, like right around there. So, and then this past weekend, I had a trip to New York. Mel and I went to New York to see one of my friends who I went to high school with, who moved to London, came back for the weekend. So we went and we made a little weekend out of it. It's a very easy trip for us, like an hour and a half to get into the city. And we saw a show on Saturday, did our thing, hung out with our friends and went out and drank and ate good food and did all that. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is I'm still in my reverse, but I'm also still living life. And the thing that I discussed with the individual on Instagram, because her question was, now that you're reversing, aren't you just dieting still? Now, technically a reverse diet does have diet in the name. And yes, I am still tracking. I didn't track anything this weekend. But my norm during this reverse process will be tracking pretty much every day, but I am going to give myself, so I'm going to have more flexibility. on some untracked days mixed in, which I did not do during my dieting phase. During my dieting phase, it was literally one free meal per week. That was it. And even with the free meal, I was still pretty intentional about my choices. But now during the reverse, I'm just adding a little bit more flexibility. And so the basic gist was like, when does it end? Like if you're reversing and you're still tracking and then you're at maintenance and you're still tracked, like when does it stop? It just feels like a never ending diet. And it is a great question. And I can see that thought process, especially when you come from the background of always dieting. That was former me, was a forever dieter. And yes, it felt like no matter what, like it's never ending. It's just obsessive and tedious and time consuming and stressful. Now, I don't even consider it when I go in my fat loss phase. Here's the key. This is really what I wanted to emphasize. The deviation from the norm was so minimal because you might think, oh, going from not tracking to tracking is a huge deviation, but it's not because I've tracked for so long. For me as an individual, it is not at all a huge deviation. I have tracking down to a science. It takes me zero time, very little thought. I can hit my numbers consistently and easily without feeling like it's a burden, without feeling like it's stressful. Now, there was definitely a time in my life where I could not say that, where tracking stressed me out. It was obsessive. I had perfectionist tendencies. That was me in the past. Currently, it takes no energy or effort or any thought, really. Not a huge deviation. But then the most important thing is I've got all of these habits that I've built up over time. So that the diet and the non-diet, when I'm just not tracking, living my best life, trying to maintain, and when I am tracking, trying to achieve a certain goal, the habits are still the same. My workout schedule is still the same. My walking is still the same. Like my water consumption is still the same. My food quality does not change that much. Yes, when I am in a fat loss phase, when I'm actively trying to lose fat, I probably go from like 80% whole quality food sources to like 90%+ whole quality food sources. But that's not a huge deviation. Like the habits that make this all feel like a lifestyle are built. It's there. The foundation is there. If I did not have that, then yeah, it would feel like always dieting. But the important thing is that we build those sustainable habits, which is why, like, the stuff that really nobody wants to focus on because it's really not exciting to talk about, I don't have to think twice about getting 10,000 steps. I don't have to think twice about getting in enough water. I don't have to think twice about my gym schedule. And by the way, my gym schedule is 3 days a week, about 40-minute sessions. It's not that much. And I play tennis twice a week, sometimes once a week, depending on like this coming week will be a once a week thing. Hopefully the following week, it'll be two times. It just depends. But my schedule is my schedule. My habits are built in. It's not a huge deviation. So it actually, when I go from, and to, you know, 2100 to 2400, I never had to go too extreme. So most of my diet was at 2500 calories, which felt very easy. Then I hit a plateau after 5 weeks. 2100 calories felt fine. There was definitely some hunger, like no doubt about it. I started to feel the effects. Hunger, some cravings, definitely felt the fatigue settle starting to hit. The brain fog started to hit, but it was not bad at all. Now going back to 2400 calories with a little bit more flexibility, it feels once again super simple and does not feel at all like I'm actively dieting whatsoever. And this, I will, you know, I want to see how my weight stabilizes here. And then there'll be another increase. And then I'm basically right back. Like if I go from 2400 to say 2700, that's it. I can ride that out and then I can be really close to just one more bump to 3000 which was my maintenance, somewhere around there. I don't know the exact number, and it's a moving target. I'm not trying to figure out precisely down to the exact calorie. It doesn't matter. I want the structure of my life and my week to be pretty set, where I know kind of what I'm eating, or, you know, each, you know, weekdays versus weekends, how many days I'm tracking versus not. And then gradually I'll move to not tracking at all. This process only works if you have the foundation built. And nobody wants to talk about building those foundational habits. And I talk about it ad nauseum, and probably why a lot of people seek answers elsewhere. Like, this is probably the most boring show because it always comes back to the same shit. And I'm never going to beat around the bush and pretend like there's some secret sauce or pretend like there's some pill or something missing. And by the way, this especially applies to people who are on weight loss medications or doing weight loss injections. Because my buddy who I got to see over the weekend, his brother is on Ozempic and he's made a lot of progress with it. And I actually think that he was a great candidate for the medication. I think a lot of times people see me talk about it or hear me talk about it and they're like, oh, you're so anti weight loss medication. I'm not. I have a problem with improper use cases or misinformation or treating it like it's a risk-free panacea, right? Like, I think we have to have open dialogue. And I think the people who are using it still need to be carefully monitored and also work on the lifestyle and behavioral changes. You know, I think that the way that we structure our coaching program, the way that we enforce habits and behavior change and lifestyle, and quite frankly, I really make that like almost a non-negotiable of joining the program. Now, of course, you could say it. You can say, I align with this theory. I align with this way of thinking. I am willing to make this a lifestyle. I'm willing to take the long road. I'm willing to solidify these habits. I'm willing to, you know, identify the behaviors that need to be adjusted. This needs to be a lifestyle. You can say it and then not act upon it. So that's it happens. But I really try to make that truly understood, the expectation before anybody joins our coaching program. Like, at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. And it's funny because a lot of times the person that I'm talking to who's interested really tries to get into the like, well, what's like the secret sauce? You know, are you going to give me this like special macro plan? Oh, I know you do neurotyping. Is it going to be my personality that finally gets me results? And it's like, no, I mean, yeah, we're going to build a plan on your personality and we're going to give you some macros. Like, none of that shit matters unless we solidify these behavioral changes, these habitual changes. We have to have these pillars in place. I want to take a brief pause in this episode to tell you about Organifi. Organifi has been holding it down for me for a very long time. I've actually been a fan for a while, since even before the podcast. So it's really cool to have them support the show and support me for, you know, my health. And I lean on them for a lot. So with you know, starting every day with some green juice, crisp apple green juice, it just is like a really easy, low barrier way to start the day that's putting something quality into your body. They have the best ingredients, like, period. They don't cut corners at all when it comes to quality. So getting your micronutrients, getting your vitamins and minerals, starting with some green juice. I highly recommend the crisp apple. It's delicious. Great way to start the morning. And then, of course, the gold juice, chocolate flavor. You know, that's my favorite little desserty way to end the day. Just tells my brain and my body it's time to stop eating. That's basically dessert. You know, I have my I've actually been loving these little mochi things that Mel's been getting. And then that's like my actual dessert, and then I'll have the drink. But it's like a perfect way to cap off the night and get me ready for bed. I've also been taking their immunity here and there, just because there's a lot of sickness going around. Their collagen is great. And the Shilajit gummies, my new favorite from their, you know, their products. It's just pre-workout, I'll take them. And then even if I'm not working out that day, I still take their Shilajit gummies. Such a powerhouse adaptogen that not many people know about. trust me when I say that. I had somebody who's also a tennis player tell me that she's been taking them before playing tennis and has felt so much better. Just energy, focus, performance has been better. But adaptogens are like, they're really cool compounds. If you just look into the research in adaptogens, look up Shilajit. If you look it up, you'll be impressed. So you get 20% off all their products by being a Mind Over Macros listener. If you go to www.organifi.com/popfam, you get 20% off everything that they offer. That's organifi.com/popfam. And you use code popfam at checkout. That's 20% off. And yeah, go get yourself some green juice, gold juice, Shilajit, collagen. Stock up with some quality stuff. Your body deserves it. You deserve it. And you get the discount. So go ahead, organifi.com/popfam. And now let's get back to the episode. And there is a lot of mindset work that goes into it, because the biggest disruptor is going to be your thoughts and beliefs and your perceptions and self-sabotage and, you know, perfectionist tendencies and all the ways that you talk yourself out of doing something or making a commitment to yourself and not following through. So yeah, that's a huge part of it. Like, we can't dance around this. There's no way around it. So when I hear somebody who's like, well, isn't this a never ending cycle of dieting? It just tells me that that individual has not yet reached the level of foundational habits where the change, the deviation, it probably feels like a lot to go, because I can remember going from eating and drinking like an asshole to then being like perfect and being putting so much pressure on myself to be perfect on my new diet, right? It was always the new diet, and I had to be perfect on the new diet. So yeah, of course it felt like, oh, is this ever going to end? And then when it ended, it was back to eating and drinking like an asshole, gaining the weight back. And then where's the new diet? Starting all over again. So I think if you are still stuck in that, like, a diet is something that I'm on, right? I'm either on or off. Even just saying like I'm going on a diet already, that's a massive red flag. Like for me, when I say I'm going to cut or I'm going to lean out or I'm going to implement a fat loss phase, the person hearing it might hear massive overhaul. When I do it, it's very tiny deviation from the norm. Very small deviation from the norm. And then it's just a gradual process of getting back to, you know, solidifying the results and then getting back to that level of flexibility. So the process for reverse dieting, if you have those foundational pieces in place, is really simple. All you're doing is you're implementing a calorie increase at a certain time interval. And it's not even, when I say time interval, I'm not saying like every single week you increase calories or every other week you increase calories. What I'm saying is you increase and then you allow your body to acclimate and you see how things are progressing, and then you increase again. And then once you reach the point where your weekly averages of weight trends up over a 3 to 4 week period, and it doesn't level off, averages, think about what I'm saying here, averages over time. So weekly averages over time, trends up over a 3 to 4 week period, and it doesn't level off, you've gone past maintenance, which is not a big deal, because let's just say it went up like 3 pounds. Okay, fine. We pull back to where you were prior to that. We get the 3 pounds off and you're at maintenance, we go back to where you were in terms of the previous numbers before that last increase, is what I'm saying. Level off, and now we're good. And then there's the process of building in flexibility. And I was just talking to Mel about this over the weekend, which is my plan is to really not track anything on Saturdays at all. And I also am going to incorporate plus one other meal that I'm going to give myself. So like going from one free meal to a free day and a free meal. So now here's the key. The calories that I'm tracking, it doesn't matter what my actual calorie number is. I have a consistent data point. And if I notice that the trends are not looking good, then I can tighten up in terms of, let's just go back to Saturday free or one free meal, that type of thing. Let things level off and then increase the flexibility again. It's just a simple process. But what makes the process complicated is if you don't have the foundational habits in place. We should be looking at this very practically in terms of walking, food quality, stress management and sleep, your training routine. And, you know, there's little other mind, like you could talk about hydration, things like that, but you're really covered. If you have those foundational elements in place, the manipulation of your nutrition is really straightforward and should not be a huge deviation. Now, once again, the reason why it sounds easy and it's actually difficult in application is because of our freaking brains. Like, that is the biggest disruptor. We have these supercomputers that love to screw us over, basically. Like, we have these survival-based brains that keep us in this pattern of comfort. And they want us to survive, so they don't like change. And, you know, you do something new and your brain's like, oh my God, this is scary. And I don't, let's just go back to what we were doing before, even though we know that that wasn't helping, right? It's your mind. It's like everything, the like physical process is so easy. It's the mental component that makes it complicated, which is why the best coaching programs in the world, they'll straight up tell you, if we don't work on your thoughts and beliefs and mindset, like if we don't tackle those things, you're never going to be successful. You're never going to be able to solidify and maintain your results because you're always going to sabotage. And that's reality. We're always going to default back to our belief system, our identities. And so a lot of times we choose comfort, and comfort has gotten us into trouble, or we go back to those habits that weren't serving us. So that's the key. It's really no more complicated than that. The reverse dieting process can be really beneficial. It can be really beneficial as a starting point. And it's necessary to me. As a starting point, it's most people can benefit from it. Like, you start a coaching program, it's really helpful to just find that maintenance, whether that's because you're under eating and we need to get you up to maintenance, or if you're not under eating, it's still good to find that maintenance and then go into a fat loss phase. But then you're going to have to reverse after the fat loss phase. That's the hardest part for most people. And here's why. Mentally, when you hit your goal, you check out. Mentally, when you're like, oh my God, I did it. I'm down 20 pounds. You check out. And that's where you start to like, just let it all go, because it's your on or off, right? It's the on or off switch. And we just have to remember that this is a lifestyle. This is forever. That's why we come back to the habits. Like, if you have those habits in place and it's not a huge deviation from the norm, then you don't have to feel on or off. It's just, you're like turning the dial a little bit, right? It's like, you're not turning the hot water from all the way hot to all the way cold. You're not turning the water all the way off and then all the way on. You're just changing the temperature a few degrees. Just these few, you know, it's warm. You're like, all right, let's make it a little hotter. And then, all right, that felt good. Got what I wanted out of that. Let's make it a little cooler. You're just changing the dial. It's really simple. But don't let anybody tell you that reverse dieting isn't real, because what's real is your experience. And I'm experiencing it currently, where I'm getting leaner continuously. I hit my low, 182.0, hit that during my reverse. Okay, don't tell me it's not real. It's an actual experience with real data. I've seen it in clients over and over again. A lot of times the people that we work with come to work with us and they're under eating, and they start getting leaner as we increase calories. Now, once again, I'm not here to argue if it's because the tracking was less accurate. It doesn't matter. That's their data. It is what it is. That's what it is. Think about how not helpful that is to be like, well, you know, I know that you think you're eating more calories now and getting leaner, but guess what? It's really only because you're tracking accurately now. And before you were lying, or before you thought you were, but you were actually being an idiot. Anyway, I digress. Hopefully this was helpful, but yeah, the most important thing at the end of the day is we got to solidify the habits. If we don't solidify the habits and the lifestyle to make this forever, then yeah, it will always feel on or off. It will always feel on or off. It will always feel very meticulous and tedious and time consuming and stressful. Once we get the habits in place, then it feels like turning the dial just a little bit, a couple degrees, one way or the other. And that's pretty straightforward. And that allows you to find that sweet spot where you're like, I can live my life. I can, you know, like I did, go out, have some drinks with a friend, get good food, not think twice about it, enjoy myself, and know that I'm still going to be relatively fit and healthy and all the things that I want to be. So if you have questions, as always, reach out, hit me up on Instagram @coach_Mike_Milner, and I will talk to you next time.